Praise be to God. Praise be to God. This morning, the reading from the Gospel is from the Gospel of John, and it's chapter 14. Let's see if I get this straight this morning. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it occurs, you may believe." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to our God. Amen. Praise be to God. Whew. Sent by a loving God. You know, this is one of those things that I believe sometimes in the lectionary, you find it a little bit hard to see how do you work this passage into this theme. But let me tell you what I did. I did homework. Amen? It's a great thing when you do homework so that you can, you know, do things better. This passage is a wonderful passage to remind us about this wonderful love of God. This is the gospel as we have been reading the gospel for the last several weeks. And we read almost every time we read this gospel, we read something that has to do with God's love. Amen? Every time we read this gospel, there is something that is mentioned here about the love of God. And it's interesting because, you know, this passage now has come to this point where we're reading now in chapter 14. And we are told, again, something that we read previously about the idea that if you love God, if you love Jesus, then you also love each other. Amen? And so in this gospel, we find from the first chapter, we encounter this story about God's love. And then we have chapter three, of course, that will come to us and will tell us that wonderful passage about the love of God, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? And so we keep hearing this throughout the gospel, the story. This is a love story. This is a story about the love of God that is actually given to us because of the love that we have received from God. It's this love that we're supposed to be giving forward. In this passage, of course, we find Jesus telling the story that he's leaving, he's going away, and they're not going to be able to follow him where he's going, not at least not yet. And so he's preparing the disciples for what is coming next. Of course, these are the stories from chapter 13 and forward. We're going to hear the stories about Jesus preparing his disciples for what is coming, which is his death. And so, and in the process of preparing the disciples to what is coming, he's telling the story about this important story about love and the fundamental implications that love has for the Christian life. For those who believe, how important it is to actually love. But there is a word here at the beginning of the passage that we have heard before. And that is the phrase that comes at the beginning of this passage, tells us something about this God making home with us. And it's interesting, I find that interesting because, of course, you know, the same word that we find in this verse, in this chapter, in chapter 13, verse 23, the same Greek word that we find here, we find it also in chapter 1, which is the phrase that says that, you know, that God came and dwelt among us. right? But not only that, here is the thing about God wanting to do, to make a home with us. And this is the thing is, you know, in the Greek, the phrase that is used is that God has come to pitch a tent with us. And of course, for us, you know, the metaphor of pitching a tent is, you know, it's not exactly anything major. But in the ancient Near East, when you were pitching a tent, it meant you were just, you know, building a house. You were just making a home. You were establishing your home with the folks around you. So when you were pitching a tent, it's like when we think of Abraham, in the story of Abraham in Genesis, that we find that pitching a tent meant that you're going to stay there for a little while because, you know, this is not an easy thing. And if you are, you know, familiar with pitching a tent the way that the ancient Near Eastern people did when they were, you know, living like that, those pretty permanent things. I mean, they will be there for a long time. So here we have that God is, again, is affirming to us that God is pitching a tent with us. God has decided that he wants to stay with us. He wants to stay with you and with me. Now, the implications are serious for our way of life and how we live our lives in the Lord. You know, when Magda and I decided to get married, we knew the implications. And I imagine that those of you have gotten married and you sort of got at the implications of what that meant, right? And, you know, and then, of course, as you get married and then you start to live your life as a married person, then you also realize the trouble you're getting into. Amen? You know, and it's both ways. You know what I mean? This is just not one way. But, you know, you got the point, right? You know the trouble you're getting into because, you know, you're just not anymore. You're not just you. Amen? It's not just about your desires being met. Now it's about, you know, how do we live this thing together, right? And so the challenge, of course, is that when you decide to come together to get married and you decide to be with someone that is going to be your partner for life, you realize that there have to be compromises that have to be made. Amen? Some things have to give. And so that is what it means to pitch a tent with someone. You decided that you want to stay with that person. You decided you want to be with that person because, you know, you have that love for that person. And you know, and when you're when we're young, of course, and you know, you're married when you're young, you know, there's all this attraction and all this chemistry that is working in you and so on, and it's just, you know, wonderful and it's glorious and it's just tremendously blessed. Amen. And then life sets in, right? And then love keeps you going. It's a different thing, right? It evolves, it changes, it grows. And you realize that there are things, there are quirky things about your partner you know, you have known for all your life and for the past 30 years or 40 or 50. you realize, well, you know, I've lived with him for that long. I can still live with him for that long, right? And so you start to make the connections that this is an important thing because it's a life commitment you're making. God has made a life commitment to you. Amen? God has made a life commitment to you. God decided that he wanted to come and be with you. He wanted to pitch a tent with you, with each one of us, and with us as a community. That's a wonderful thing about the Greek as we read this scripture. That it's a personal thing, but it's also a communal thing. So God decided that God wanted to pitch a tent with you and with all of us. And so, whether we, as Pastor said before, you know, sometimes we mess up. And sometimes we feel the guilt of our messing up. But by the same token, we also understand that this God keeps calling us and keeps telling us, yes, it's okay. It's okay. I get it. You know, I get it. And better than, well, not better, but different from our human relations, this God understands us better, completely, knows exactly what we're missing, knows exactly what are our limitations, understand exactly what the challenges we have in life. This God knows exactly what we need. And this God, although we sometimes push him away, although sometimes we just don't want to agree with God and what God wants for our lives and for our communities, but this God keeps pushing himself in and saying, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere. And even when you don't want to go the way that God wants you to go, God still is there. Amen? And God's still looking for us. Looking for us. Reaching out to us. Because God has decided to pitch his tent with us. God has decided to come and be among us. To come and be in our midst. To come and be present in our lives. Regardless of how you feel. Regardless of where you are. And sometimes in spite of us. Amen? Sometimes in spite of us. In the book of Revelations we read last week, a similar story. So we find this theme in John. We find it in the gospel. We find it in the epistles of John, the letters of John. And we find it finally also in the book of Revelations. In the book of Revelations, we're told the same thing. God decided in chapter 21, God decided that he wanted to be with us. And the author declares that this God is the one who is going to be dwelling with us at every step of the way. And this God is telling us also what he requires of us. This God is also telling us what he wants from us. For this God is calling for our love. Amen? Right? And this is some of the things that Jesus says and some of the things we have read in the Gospels, right? When Jesus says, this is all about, right? You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And then he adds, that's the first and great commandment, right? And then he adds, well, you know, and the next one is just very close to this. And he says, and you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that there is this important connection that we always have to keep in mind, for there is no way for us to show love of God without showing love for the other human being that is next to you. And I don't mean your spouse, because, you know, right now you're sitting next to your spouse. And again, I don't mean specifically your spouse, although it's important to love your spouse. Amen? But it's about showing that love of God to the people around us. As in the video we watched earlier today, and as Kay mentioned as well, you know, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the hands and feet of God. We are the people who are actually showing the love of God to the world. Where is God? Where is God going to show his love to the people of this world? In you and through you, through us. God shows God's love through us to the world. When people see the kind of love we give, when people see the kind of love we show, then people can see the love of God. We are indeed those who show that incredible and amazing love of God. So this is why it's so difficult sometimes for people to believe, because when they see Christians proclaiming that they believe in God, that they love God, and then they do the crazy things we know some people do, amen? Then you realize, how can people come to believe when the love that we're showing does not show love of God? We have said here before, of course, that, you know, the love of God is limitless, right? Has no limits. The love of God is open to everyone. It's all inclusive, brings everybody in. The love of God is not one that you can decide, you know, who do I love? Who deserves my love? For we love the way that God has loved us. Not because you're the greatest guy ever or the greatest gal. It has nothing to do with that. Amen? For none of us deserves the love of God. But God decided that he wants to share his love with us. The same way, in the same way We are called to love each other. No exceptions, no limitations, no stops. For God has not put any stop to love us and to show us his amazing love. That's why when we read that wonderful passage in John 3:16, and we repeat that passage constantly, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That is the amazing expression of God's love for us. And so how do we love each other? It's the expression of our love for God. For we cannot show God our love except by loving each other. I mean, people can come to worship every day. People can come and read the scriptures every day. People can come and pray every day. People can come to church every day. But if there is no love for the people around them, all that is empty. The only way we have to show our love for God is when we love each other, when we care for each other, when we sustain each other, when we are there for each other. And we have been sent by God to show that love to the world. We have been sent by this loving God to show God's love to the world. Are you ready to do that? For God is calling on all of us to move out into the world to show and give that love. Amen.